write him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean and set me up on my pony on my boat. Now if I were Roy Rogers, I'd sure not be single. I couldn't bring myself to marry an old dame. Just be me and Trevor. We'll go riding through them movies, and we buy a boat, and on the sea we'll sail. And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony on my boat. Now the mystery masked man was smart. He got himself a Tonto, cause Tonto did the dirty work for free. But Tonto, he was smarter. And one day said King Wasabi, kiss my ass, I bought a boat, I'm going.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Friday, April the 20th, 2018 edition of the American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog, and as always, I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, a quick announcement. I've confirmed Brendan O'Connell will be on this show next Thursday. So you want to make sure you tune into that one, folks, because Brendan's got a bit of a different take on the geopolitical situation, and we're going to explore both that and the Talpiot program. And by the way, don't forget, next Wednesday, I'm going to have former Army Counterintelligence Officer Scott Bennett on the show. Now, that said, tell me, folks, what does Scott Bennett, Jim and Joanne Moriarty, Brendan O'Connell, and today's guest, Michael Caddy, have in common? Well, they've all been over the target, if you will, and consequently, gotten flack. So with that, I've decided, for today's flight, to trade Daryl's and my usual passenger jet for a B-1 Stealth, as we're likely going to be dropping a few bombs on this show. So, I've got my navigator Sam in place. Do I have my co-pilot Daryl strapped in?
I'm already here with the checklist, sir.
Okay. Do I have my governmental intelligence asset Michael Caddy strapped in?
I'm here, guys.
Yeah, okay. All right, Daryl. Give it the throttle, I'll handle the gear and the flaps, and let's roll. Go ahead.
Okay, well, we've been cleared for takeoff, so good afternoon, Michael, and glad to have you back on and board with us again today. And we have so many current topics that seem to work with your prior experience in life, and maybe you could share with us some of that background as much as you would care to.
Well, I am limited as to exactly what I can share, as you well know, but I spent considerable time in the oxymoronic government intelligence field, and it gave me some rather unique insights, that experience, and I've also been involved in several other programs, and when I see news, I think I see news, or whether it's fake news or authentic news, I think I see it through a different viewpoint than most people do because of those past experiences.
Yeah, well, that seems entirely reasonable, and that's why your perspective is so valuable in regard to what seems to have been going on here for the last year and a half, or even longer than that, you know, for the last 20 years. But so here's a question for you, Michael, something I've been pondering myself. How would the normal man or woman on the street, would they be aware that their perceptions are being manipulated from your perspective?
Well, absolutely, and I've made this statement on several occasions. The majority of Americans would climb a tree backwards to believe a lie when they could stand on the ground and hear the truth. A comfortable lie will always trump, and I don't mean that a reference towards Donald Trump, but a comfortable lie always pleases the American public. Just tell them something so they can shut up and watch Dancing with the Stars and whatever sporting events on TV, and they are good to go. The thing that has amazed me for so many years is the fact that I sit and I look at what is being said. And, it, you know, they have to be sitting back, and by them I mean the people who actually control government, have to be sitting back in their easy chairs with an adult beverage just laughing their backsides off at the American public, because in essence, they have told us so many times exactly what they're doing, but no one wants to believe it. So
right.
It's not all super secret. They tell us what they're going to do, and but we just aren't, as a people, smart enough to catch on to it.
Okay, let me interject here, Michael. You know, and to lack the confusion, let's call Michael Michael, and let's call, if we're referring to me, let's call me Mike, okay, Daryl? Because otherwise I'll know.
Okay,
yeah. Okay, so you know, when you say, okay, they tell us what we're going to do, yes, I know cryptically, Michael, they tell us what we're going to do, but some of the stuff that they're really doing, you know, if they're not putting it out cryptically, I mean, some of the things that are going on geopolitical in the Middle East, they're not directly telling us that, because if they would directly tell us exactly what they're doing, they know we would probably storm the White House and the Pentagon. Your thoughts?
I doubt there would be any storming take place, not as long as there was sports on and TV on the weekend. But
you got to be right.
Here is the point. Let me bring up something. After Donald Trump was elected and before he was inaugurated, good old Chuckie Schumer out of New York said the following. Let me tell you, you take on the intelligence community, they have 6 ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
Yes, I remember that. That was
a warning. That was a warning that was being issued from a shill for the deep state. And so he was basically telling Mr. Trump in a cryptic fashion, make sure you understand who your bosses are. But let's go back to 1981. Now, guys, that's been quite a while ago. And let's look at a statement that came directly from William Casey, who was Ronald Reagan's first CIA director. And this came from the first staff meeting under Reagan. And here is Casey's comment when he says, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false.
Okay, well, doesn't that kind of contradict, Michael, with what you just said about the government tells us? They pretty much put it out there what they're going to do. Because not on mainstream media they don't, because almost everything that comes out of mainstream media is a lie or it's a spin. So how are they communicating with us to let us know exactly what they're going to do when William Casey has made that statement and followed along with Operation Mockingbird, and we know that the mainstream media tells little if any truth at all?
Well, that is true, Mike. And if I were to say to you, to answer that question, if Casey says and tells, if I'm standing before a group of people and I'm telling these people I have a disinformation program going on, and when I'm finished, everything I tell you will be a lie. You have told the people what you plan to do. So I see both sides of this situation, but if I tell you that, hey, I'm going to at some point in time, everything I tell you is going to be a lie and you're going to believe it, but then let's correlate that with a couple of other things. We have William Colby, who was the CIA director, and he made this statement. He said the Central Intelligence Agency owns everyone of any significance in the major media. Now, but the American public will still turn on FAUX News every word they say.
Not only that, but I've actually seen reports that Rupert Murdoch and Sean Hannity and there was another, Bill O'Reilly, were all out to dinner, and there was a recorded conversation that they were all pretty lit up that night, and they were laughing their hind ends off at their own listening audience, saying that, joking about how they were tobacco chewing, you know, drooling with a bib on people that even listened to them. So they know that what they're putting out is spin. Go ahead. Your thoughts on that?
Let's look at another CIA intelligence officer, a guy by the name of William Bader, who said there is quite an incredible spread of relationships. You don't need to manipulate Time Magazine, for example, because there are Central Intelligence Agency people at the management level.
Well, so, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You got the floor. Go ahead. The point is what?
All right. Let's go back. If we want to go back to the point in time and give people something to look at as to when the deep state took over the operation or began to take over, it wasn't complete in one fell swoop. But when the deep state began to take over the U.S. government, let's move back to 1947 and let's look at the National Security Act that came out in 1947, which created the CIA, the Department of Defense, NSA, DIA, and a bunch of other alphabet agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So they were created, and who staffed much of the CIA's hierarchy at that time? It had been the OSS before, so it became the Central Intelligence Agency in 1947. So Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles were very instrumental in putting this thing together. So they, in their infinite wisdom, decided that if they were really going to make this thing work, they needed a bunch of Nazis to put into high positions to help them out. The problem was that President Truman, who had taken power when FDR died after being with his mistress in Warm Springs, Georgia, what a heck of a way to go. But anyway, passes. The thing of it was Truman was so isolated, Truman didn't even know about the Manhattan Project. That's in the National Archives. He had to be briefed on everything. He had been kept completely out of the loop. So then we have all of this being created. So Alan Dulles is saying to his brother John Foster, well, we need to bring these people in, but Truman has said we can bring in anybody we want from Germany as long as they haven't been members of the SS. So the Dulles brothers then say, okay, well, we'll just pull one over on old Harry, and we will do this under what is called Operation Paperclip. Headliner in Operation Paperclip was Wernher von Braun. So everybody is going, we better get this guy. But he was an SS colonel. So Operation Paperclip sanitized all of the records of these people that were being brought into the country to be put into the operational status of the U.S. government. And these included people by the name of Klaus Barbie, who was the Butcher of France. And there were several other SS officers that were brought in and put into the U.S. intelligence operation shortly after World War II. So we know how they operated. So if you want to see how the CIA is operating now, compare it to the Gestapo back, 60s, a lot longer than that. But go back to the 40s, 70 years ago, and look at what we have. And then I think it was very telling because Truman, shortly after the JFK assassination, and that's a big one, that's something you can really go into with the deep state, and you can probably jump into more rabbit holes than any other thing. But let's look at what Truman said in December of 63, just 1 month after the JFK assassination. Former President Truman says, and I quote, "For some time I have been disturbed by the way the CIA has been diverted from its original assignment. It has become an operational and at times a policy-making arm of our government. I never had any thought that when I set up the CIA that it would be injected into peacetime cloak and dagger operations."
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead.
From my observations here, it looks to me like, especially in recent interviews that I've had regarding this issue, it looks to me like the CIA isn't even getting its orders from the United States government. It's getting its orders from the banking cartel.
Well, and the Rothschild group. Actually, the CIA is directing the U.S. government and other intelligence agencies, which fit into Schumer's intelligence community. So,
okay.
Basically, we are being run by an outside operation, which is controlled by the international banking cartel. You know, so what do you do if you're the CIA and you want people to suddenly go, oh, wow. So anytime someone brings up the truth about government, you have to shut them down. So very early on, the CIA said, well, how are we going to do this? So they come up with a directive, a document, and the number of that document is 1035-960. Now, here is what they had to say back then, and then I think we can talk about this and how it has worked out to their advantage. Quote, conspiracy theory is a term that strikes fear and anxiety in the hearts of most every public figure, particularly journalists and academics. Since the 1960s, the label has become a disciplinary device that has been overwhelmingly effective in defining certain events as off-limits to inquiry or debate, especially in the United States, raising legitimate questions about dubious official narratives destined to inform public opinion and thereby public policy is a major thought crime that must be cauterized from the public psyche at all costs.
Now, what was the date?
That's what's happened.
Well, yeah, but let me clarify here. 1035-960, that document was put out when? What was the date on that, Michael? Michael?
I lost you there, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, what that document, 1035-960, what was the date on that document? When was it?
I have no date on the copy I have, Mike.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. So yes, we know, and it seems to me, if memory serves me correctly, that document, or you know what you had just read off, was a think tank conclusion, a written document that was put out, I think, shortly after the JFK assassination, because, yes, they were coming up with a lot of people that were questioning the official narrative of it, and they had to do something to quell that, if I remember correctly. Am I on track there?
Right. And are we all familiar with Operation Northwoods?
Oh, yeah. 1962? Yes. Lyman Lemnitzer, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So we have that which comes into effect. So when that occurred and they brought Operation Northwoods to JFK, how did JFK respond?
He rejected it.
He rejected it, but he also decided, as he walked outside the hallway with Dean Rusk and his brother Bobby, he turned to them and pointed back into the room and he said, those son of bitches are crazy.
okay.
So he, and that's in the National Archives, gentlemen, I've seen the document.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, then, okay, I've got to split these guys up. So he started taking the Joint Chiefs, and he started putting them in different assignments, and he basically at some point, not exactly after Northwoods, but because of Bay of Pigs and several other things, he fired Alan Dulles as director of the CIA.
Right, yeah.
So then JFK made some terrible mistakes. I don't mean realistically, but he did for his own safety and his own well-being. Number one, beginning in the very beginning, shortly after JFK came into office, he was approached by the Joint Chiefs, and he was told, well, Mr. President, I know you're new at this job, but we need to invade Laos.
Okay, I tell you what, hold that thought, Michael. We got to take a break, so hold that thought. Invading Laos.
Okay. I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, along with my co-pilot, Daryl, and my special guest, Michael Gatti. Now, Michael, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say the Joint Chiefs of Staff come to JFK, and they said that they need him to evade Laos. Why? Was there a lot of opium poppies there? What was the reason?
Well, you have to understand that the military-industrial complex that Dwight Eisenhower was a part of for so many years and never warned us, and then decided to warn us when he was leaving the presidency. The military-industrial complex operates on money. And they need, and I call it now the military-industrial congressional banking complex, because it has expanded to that point. But they're always, their bottom line is always money. Now, Laos was a war. War profits those people. It uses up our national treasure and our blood, but it profits the banking industry, and it we can take that all the way back to our own Revolutionary War and track it through our history. But what we have at that point is they needed a war. They wanted a war regardless of where it was. Laos seemed to be a good point at the time. So they hit him up, they hit JFK up for this war, and JFK actually being a combat, and I was actually in combat, he said, no, I don't really think we need to go to war in Laos. So he kind of shut that down. So then Alan Dulles and the others start working on an invasion of Cuba. And they start putting all of that stuff together. And what most Americans don't know, and we're doing it now again, but back in the early 60s, we started moving ICBMs to within 50 miles of the Russian border. So Russia responds by bringing missiles, ICBMs, to Cuba. And it's just a defensive measure in their minds. And so they bring them to Cuba. And, of course, we're planning, we've got the Bay of Pigs thing, which was designed. And the Bay of Pigs invasion was rejected by JFK. And he told him, no, we're not going to do that. But Alan Dulles is director of the CIA, used CIA assets, and began the Bay of Pigs invasion anyway. So his thought was, and he did this with the Joint Chiefs, especially Nimitzer and trying to think the guy who was Chief of Staff of the Air Force at the time. It'll come to me in a minute. But they were the two main people who were pushing this operation to invade Cuba. And so they decided on their own, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll begin this operation, and when our forces come under Cuban fire, the president will have no choice but to enter the fray. But when it actually happened, JFK refused to commit military forces to a CIA operation. So the CIA was basically running the military, and there are people now, one gentleman, if you want to read him, who wrote some absolutely fantastic stuff, was Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, who was a CIA, he was a liaison between the Air Force and the CIA, and he established back in the early 60s in a book that he published that was sent out, but it never arrived anywhere. All of the copies were bought up. But he gave a very clear definition and that the CIA was basically directing the United States military through special operations. And today, almost any person who is a member of a special operations unit in the United States military, whether it be Green Berets, Rangers, SEALs, Force Recon, or whatever it is, will tell you that the CIA actually is the boss of special operations military units throughout our country.
Okay, so that said, and by the way, I've seen L. Fletcher Prouty's name come up in a number of different situations, including some of the guests I'm going to have next week on Brendan O'Connell. But as you describe this with the CIA, yes, the CIA is the controlling mechanism which forces public or foreign policy. But it is their direct orders are given by the international banking cartel, which Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex. And from my perspective, Michael, it has grown, and you've said this. You don't even call it. You call it the banking cartel. I mean, they've turned this into a money-making monster, and it's being fed by the blood of people around the world. And it's getting. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say absolutely. I'm sorry I interrupted, Mike, but absolutely what you're saying is spot on. And I think, and we shall move to that at some point in our conversation, I think that shows up very succinctly in the last 4 or 5 weeks of our own history here, when we had a president who had been tweeting since 2013 that no president should ever go to war without a consent of Congress, without a declaration of war, until it's in his hands, and then he does exactly the opposite. Well, he did exactly the opposite because he had no other choice, because he's not really running the show.
Right. And not only... Yes.
Well, I just wanted to interject here that...
Daryl, hold your interjection. Okay, we got to go to a break, then we're going to have a long segment coming up. So hold that thought, Daryl, and I'll give you the floor as soon as we get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my co-pilot, Daryl, and special guest, Michael Gaddy. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest Michael Getty and my co-pilot Daryl, of whom, Daryl, you've got the floor. Interject, pose your question.
Okay, well, it's really an observation that what Michael's bringing forward in a linear fashion of documentable history is that we need to reconcile in our minds that history proves, unrebuttably proves, that the president, the office of president, has been extorted since Truman, and in a linear fashion. Each presidency is subject to extortion by this crime cartel known as the Deep State or the CIA or the military industrial congressional octopus. On the other side of that, we have the American people. And what they need to come to terms with, as I would propose, is that they need to reconcile the distinct difference between why these operations, or why people are sent to these operations, and then the American people's mindset of why they're going. And this is the disconnect that I see as being the rub, is that the American people, the men and women, are going to have to reconcile this fact of extortion. And I just wanted to bring that out.
Well, you know, let me interject here, and I pose this to both of you guys, because you're both very intelligent people. Now, number one, when we watched that meeting between Trump and Obama, and when Trump walked out of that meeting, the blood had run out of his face, and he looked like somebody had just told him that you know, his family was dead. Do you think it was in that meeting that they dropped the bomb on Trump and told him that he really doesn't run anything, direction is being controlled by the CIA? That's a possibility. And number two, and let me see if you agree with me, gentlemen, since the PNAC documents and the plan was put in order for the new, project for a new American century, and since they pulled off this cataclysmic and catastrophic event, i.e. 9/11, the continuous war since 9/11, I've done the math in my head, and it looks to me like this military-industrial complex, which is growing exponentially to the tune of trillions of dollars, has cost the lives of close to 4 million people. Would you agree with me, gentlemen?
Absolutely.
Yes, Mike.
Okay. So that, do you think that... I mean, that piece of news that you come in thinking that you're going to change this stuff and you're going to drain the swamp and you're going to make America great again, that news that you just put out there, Michael, about actually it's the CIA that runs things and is it directed by the banking cartel, that news would be enough to let the blood run out of Donald Trump's face, wouldn't you think?
Well, let me tell you an example. I was sitting in a room in McLean, Virginia, back in the very early 80s, and I was talking with a cohort who has been previously mentioned in this show, and he was educating me to a great extent, and he said, I have no proof of this, but I have been told that when we get a new executive, which would be a president, that currently, what they do is they bring them in, sit them down in a room, and they tell them, okay, to use the quote from Festus, here's how the cow ate the cabbage. And so they lay out the plan and says, okay, we're going to let you be the figurehead. We're going to let you be president. We'll let you play golf, and we'll let you look presidential, and we'll let people think you're making decisions, but you ain't. And if and I was told at one of these, there's no way to prove this, gentlemen, so it's pure speculation. I want that to be sure. But I was told at one of these meetings with a president who came on board during the 80s that they set three pictures on the table, and one was JFK, one was RFK, and one was MLK. And they said, gentlemen, this is how things are going to work, or we will have your picture on the table next time.
Oh, my God, that'd make the blood run out of somebody's face, don't you think, Daryl?
Well, I think the comment that was made earlier about Chuck Schumer when you said that they have a dozen different ways to get at you was, at the time I heard that comment, my thought was they're telling us in no uncertain terms that the CIA is superior and that the president is the inferior, and behavior would support that. The behaviors we see would support that.
Well, let's explore that a bit, because I want to toss something out here at both of you guys. I was doing a little research regarding this future guest I'm having coming up next week. Very interesting guy. As a matter of fact, he was in prison with Roger Reeves in Australia, who happened to be Barry Seal's boss. If you can believe that. But as I was going through this and I was reading through this information, a line popped out at me, and it said, the Jewish elite don't fear Donald Trump. They love him and they support him because they own him. And so I dug through and I started looking at the people that are involved with Donald Trump, all the way from his communications coordinator to the supervisory board to the endorsers to the supporters to the vice chairman of finance to the vice chairman of the Victory Committee. And on and on and on and on. And there are close to 100 of these people that are involved with Donald Trump. All of which, all but one. One's a Sephardic Jew. Now, I don't want to confuse Jew with Zionism, but almost all of them are Ashkenazi Jews, and they are Zionists. So this correlation between the banking cartel, which we know are Zionist Ashkenazi Jews, most of them are. Some of them aren't, but most of them are. Okay, so this is all being played out. And the control mechanism, I guess I would have to pose a question to both of you, because we were all on the campaign trail. Donald Trump was campaigning, and he was saying everything that the people wanted to hear. Was this, in your minds, guys, was this a setup? Was this another psyop? I'll ask you, Michael. Was this another psyop on the American people, the entire election process?
Well, I can document, gentlemen, what I'm about to tell you. If you want to go back to the 2016 election cycle and read the articles I was writing while this was going on. And I made the observation that in that this government has said when other governments hold elections that if at least 50% of the eligible voters do not vote, the election is invalid. Well, in 2012, we came very near that when we ran Willard Romney against Obama, and the only difference between those two philosophically was nothing, but the only real difference was skin pigmentation. And the American people were catching on to the game. And so the powers that be saw 2016 coming up, and they looked at it, and they said, if Hillary is going to be running against Jeb Bush, we may not get 50% of the voters to show up. So we've got to do something to stir up the electorate, and we've got to do something to light a fire under these people. We've got to do something to get them engaged, and we've got to get something to bring them in, because the deep state knows that no matter who you plug in to the office of President of the United States, they're a puppet. And there are, you know, as Schumer said, there's six ways from Sunday of taking care of you if you don't. So, and then when someone gets there and they realize that all of the assets are owned by the military-industrial congressional complex, and I'm not sure about the congressional anymore, after reading James Bamford and some of his stuff, he's very good at this, but he said the existence of the secret government is so closely held that Congress is completely bypassed. Well, I think that's true because our Constitution's completely bypassed. But the point of it is that the way you keep Americans involved in this is through the voting process. You have to keep the illusion up there that, hey, we can actually change something if we elect the right person. But I would like to take that back, if I may, to the 1960s and a gentleman by the name of Carol Quigley, who was very, very much involved in the Council on Foreign Relations and was a brilliant man, a Georgetown professor. Bill Clinton called him his mentor. And Carol Quigley wrote a book called Tragedy and Hope. Now, there is a quote from that that I think the American public needs to embrace, and this is the quote. The argument that the two parties should represent opposed ideals and policies is a foolish idea. Instead, the two parties should be almost identical, so that the American people can throw the rascals out at any election cycle without leading to any profound or extensive shift in policy. Then it should be possible to replace it every 4 years, if necessary, by the other party, which will be none of these things, but which will still pursue with new vigor the same basic policy. Now, that was written in 1962.
Well, history would verify it. I mean, that's exactly what we see over the course of the next 50 years. Here's my comment on that, is that what they're doing is they want the consent of the governed, which is why they want the 50% at least or more to vote, not elect, but to vote, to participate. And then this provides a majority of United States citizens plausible deniability as to their responsibilities as to what the government does. As long as you provide the American people with psychological cover, they allow it to continue.
Right. Michael? And this goes back to the question, though, because this, you know, what we're exploring today is basically psyops. And I had said before, and I had put this out, the possibility that this entire campaign was a psyop. Because look at who they propped up. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, Mike. But and that is exactly what it was. It was a psychological operation on the American public. You had to get the people re-engaged in this. So what did Trump say? It was what everybody wanted to hear. It's what all of the people who had dropped out of the election process in 2016, and those people, he was saying exactly what they want to hear. Oh, we're going to put a wall up on the border, and we're going to do this, and we're going to shut out the UN, and we're not going to be involved in wars. But if you will go back and parallel what he said with what George W. Bush was saying in 2000, it is almost identical.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, another factor I want to bring out here, and which is likely you could call it a psyop, is he pulled out of the Paris Climate Accords. And we thought, okay, he's calling them out for what they are. The climate change is a hoax, blah, blah, blah. Yet, regardless of that, they're still moving forward with their agenda on Go Green and the smart meters and the whole nine yards. So, you know, how's that tie in, Michael?
Well, it's what you do is you tell people and you make it appear, which is the very basis of a psyop. You show the people what they want to feel, you know, what they want to see, what they want to hear, what they want to taste. You put it all out there, and you make them think that, hey, this train is headed to Topeka, Kansas, when it's headed to Istanbul. As long as they feel like what they want is being done, they're good with it. And you want to talk about a psyop, but stop and think about this. I will get people to forever and ever embrace my wars if I get them to think the soldiers fighting those wars are heroes.
You know, and let me add something into the mix here, gentlemen, and get your thoughts on this. I have a relative in the family who is an Army intelligence officer, and I saw him not long ago, and he told me, he says, I said, what do you think? Do you think Trump is a one-term president? And he said, oh, no, he'll do two terms. And I said, why do you say that? He says, let me tell you something. He says, as long as Americans have money in their wallet and the stock market is going up and they, you know, they can spend the money on their bread and circuses or whatever, they're going to vote him back in. If the economy is weak or, you know, like in the Jimmy Carter administration, they will vote him out. But that is a very disgusting comment to make in light of the fact that the American people are turning a blind eye, especially these Judeo-Christians and blah, 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 because 33% of the population of Palestine is Christian. Yet these people are being sniped and picked off, and the Judeo-Christians are siding with Israel to prop them up because they think they're going to get raptured out of here and blah, 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 and it's God's chosen people. This is yet another psyop on America that you just can't seem to crack through their hypnosis. Michael, Daryl, your thoughts?
Well, my grandfather had a great comment years ago. I can't say all of it on the air here, but he used to say, you can add all the mayonnaise you want and stir like hell, but you can't make chicken salad out of chicken.
Chicken SH with a hit.
I'll leave the other word there.
Well, or put lipstick on the pig. Go ahead, Daryl.
I'll throw a quote in here. I'll paraphrase it. But the quote, and I regret I can't say who the quote came from, but as I remember it, it was, as long as a man's paycheck is based upon him not knowing the truth, you can't tell him the truth. And that's in fact what your relative was saying to you, is as long as they're profiting from it, they don't want to know anything any different because that blows their cover. I keep going back to plausible deniability, and they get away with this is because the tyrants say that we're not tyrants, and then the American people don't challenge them on that, and they want to be handled with a velvet glove. The best way to deal with tyrants is to make them act like tyrants, in my opinion. And until we find the courage to do that, we'll participate in this stagecraft. And,
yeah, and
it will progress.
Go ahead, Michael.
I think two great quotes here, guys, or at least paraphrase quotes, was Stalin said, I will be able to rule the people as long as I keep them at a comfort level. Mao said, I can do whatever I want to the people of China as long as they have three bowls of rice a day. So we're back to basically the same parallel. And as long as Americans have a cell phone that they can look at 23 and a half hours a day, as long as they have a TV that they can watch whenever they want to, as long as they are entertained, as long as they're entertained, they will never revolt. There will never you can do anything you want to this country. One of the things I was talking about recently is if you take all of us who are over 40 years old, and we weren't here anymore, and suddenly they shut off the internet and access to cell phones to what's left of the populace in this country, they would go absolutely wacko.
Okay, I'll tell you what, guys. We got to go to a break real quick, but what scares me is the military complex has grown so large, and you've said so, you know, it's just a multi-trillion dollar organization, and unfortunately, most of our economy is built on it because we don't make anything. We don't, you know, we don't export anything. We got to take a break. Hold those thoughts when we get back, folks. Michael Gatti, my special guest, and my co-pilot, Daryl. Stick around, more to come. I'll open up the phone lines first part of the next hour. Be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction. Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog, with my special guest, Michael Gatti, and my co-pilot, Daryl. And you know, I just listened to the end of the Al Whitney commercial. We're consenting to our own demise. This is the snake. I'm getting a feedback, Sam. We are contributing to our own demise because Dan, I'm getting a bad feedback. Okay, there we go. Don't scream at me, Sam. Yeah, you need to take a breath, Sam. Okay. Guys, we're contributing to our own demise because we don't manufacture anything. We don't export anything. This is a service-oriented society. And would you not agree with me, guys, that if a miracle happened and Trump just went total full circle, did a 180 and called all the troops home from Afghanistan, from Syria, from Iraq, and so forth, our economy would collapse. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, I would. But I would say, I would take some little exception to that, is that we do create a lot here, and all we have to do is look at our national budget, where over approximately 55 to 58% of it is discretionary spending on war. And if you look at the United States government as a business, and this country as a business, you invest in what you're going to use. If you're running a business, I'm a small business person, I only invest in things that are going to give me a return. Now, this is here again. They're telling you exactly what they're doing by use of what they're investing in. They invest in war, and because that's what their business plan is war, and they expect to get a return on that. That's very simple. On the other side of that, the American people have a sense, a psychological sense about themselves of learned helplessness. I'm just one person. What can I do? And they participate in their own abuse. And this dynamic, if you will, the whole thing, the government and the people, the way they interact in it, is what I call the self-licking ice cream cone. And it just perpetuates a continuous revolution around and around, and they keep filling the ice cream cone back up with poison and war. And so that's my little rant, if you will.
Well, the reason I say, gentlemen, that we're contributing to our own demise, because Michael, Daryl, as we see this military-industrial complex expanding and sucking more money for, as you said, the investment in the business to get a return, and it's doing so at the blood, not necessarily of the American people, not yet, but people around the world are dying over this. And it's going to continue.
Well, yeah.
Right, okay, we got a break coming up. The top of the hour break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Phone lines will be open, 800-313-9443. We'll explore this further when we get back. Stick around, more to come.
I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think I.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.